Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, the technology is really rippling through our everyday lives, if you haven't noticed. I bet you got something smart you're wearing right now. So we've been keeping track of that. And also just some general trends that are very interesting in the technological area and the evolution of our culture and some of the things that are changing. So, you know, we try to keep an eye on what's out there. And we also, of course, will bring in guests to help us do this. And we're really lucky to have Maria LaMagna on the line. She is a reporter for MarketWatch, and we find a lot of great folks over there at MarketWatch that help us kind of zero in on certain subjects. So you can go to marketwatch.com and follow all the various columns and articles being written there. And Maria has been a reporter for MarketWatch in New York City. Articles are appearing online regularly, and we've got several we're going to talk about, a lot in the consumer-related and personal finance area. Prior to joining MarketWatch, Maria was a web producer and social media editor over at BloombergView.com. So she has been totally immersed in this whole digital media thing. So we want to dive in and take advantage of Maria's expertise. So Maria, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm glad you're here. We need some help. I will confess that I am not up to speed on the latest, greatest technology. I try to use what I can, but some of the stuff seems to change before I even have a chance to say, hey, wait a minute, what was that again?
It does. I know. It's hard to keep up unless you're making that your full-time job, so I don't blame you at all.
Well, thank you for writing and keeping us up to date on some of the stuff. So there's a lot going on, and I just, you've had some great reports you've put on MarketWatch,
thank
so
you.
I don't want to hit on a couple of them. One of them is what Amazon's been doing, and I have a friend of mine that told me about this, and I thought it was really amazing, but
yeah.
I'd love to dig into this. So Amazon's got it, and this is just portends of what may come. You know, if we can fast forward, imagine what things would be like, you know, 20 years from now. But they've got a new service, I hear, from Amazon that lets your washing machine reorder its own detergent. What?
Yes, I know. This is crazy to me, I thought, when I saw it. But, you know, Amazon has been innovating along these lines for a while now. We saw Amazon have these dash buttons that let you just click with, you know, your finger and you can reorder certain household items.
Mm.
But what's new now is that they have started a new service called Amazon Dash Replenishment, which means the devices themselves will actually order without you even having to press any kind of button. So right now they're just working with a printer company called Brothers Printers, and they're enabling the printers to actually reorder ink and toner without, you know, you just set that up ahead of time, and then you never have to do anything again once you reach, you know, the printer knows when it's low on a supply, and then it will reorder it from Amazon for you without you having to do anything or even realize that you're running low.
So convenient. You know, that's so nice. I hope the printer will pay my American Express bill when it comes in.
I know, right? I know. That would be great.
Well, it will, but it'll deduct it from my checking account.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
or
not making its own money.
Yeah. Garnish my wages for life.
Yes.
It's interesting how all this is evolved. You know, it used to be we were very fancy to set up an automatic reorder of something, and then it's now look at where we are with these. And I've seen these little dash buttons, and I do not have any because I would be afraid that I'm, you know, I don't know, those could fall into the wrong hands in my household. But
yeah, it is crazy and kind of futuristic, but it's interesting that, you know, so many innovations are coming out along these lines so quickly. And, you know, before reporting on it, I might have thought that's something that seemed really far away or it's not practical, but it does seem like people, or at least a certain market of people, are really taking advantage. And there does seem to be enough demand that Amazon keeps leaning into that type of service.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you'll indulge me, Maria, and I think our listeners, probably a lot of them, think about this and what the implications are for us. But, you know, it doesn't seem that, as you see more and more of these things build, it doesn't seem that far-fetched to look at, like, you know, some of the movies we've seen of late where, you know, you've got this personal assistant like Jarvis with Iron Man, or,
right,
you know, or the Jetsons with Rosie, the, you know, the robot. I mean, you've got this, and it's not that far out that instead of, you know, on my truck, I got an SUV and I push the button on the steering wheel and then I can say, you know, turn to XM Chill or Watercolors, and it goes to that channel. So we're not that far from removing the actual requirement to push buttons is, I guess, where we're headed here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Mark Zuckerberg wrote on Facebook not long ago that he's interested in investing in artificial intelligence for his own home. So, yeah, I mean, I think people are interested in doing this, and it remains to be seen how quickly it will catch on, especially among the mainstream. You know, certain things. There's also a refrigerator that Samsung is working on with MasterCard that will reorder groceries for you. But what's interesting is, you know, refrigerators have a pretty long life. So it'll be interesting how quickly people are willing to swap out their different electronics to go toward this automated system.
I can answer that. I know that's a bit of a rhetorical question, but I'll answer it. If the refrigerator can keep my chocolate milk in the refrigerator that the kids keep drinking, they'll keep my milk full, I'll buy a new one tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's the goal. So, yeah, I think for a lot of people, that's desirable.
Yeah. I'm like, where's my chocolate milk?
Yeah, no, I think, for a lot of us that have favorite products, it sounds really nice to just have them automatically restocked.
Will it also take the one that the kids leave in the back of the refrigerator that's completely empty, then push it to the... Will it also go in... Talk to the trash can and have
I don't know if we're quite there, but that would be really great. I like throwing things away too. So.
Yeah, you know, we had that in the movie with Will Smith that, of course, was a Isaac Asimov classic iRobot, and you know, we had these walking, talking, and artificial, and you know, because you've got we move away from the buttons and we move toward just talking to a disembodied whatever that's going to, you know, send electronic signals to make certain things happen, and then, you know, we'll be ending up putting that back into this artificial intelligence or this personal assistance communication back into some sort of physical robot or something else. And we'll end up, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see where all this ends up.
Yeah, it is interesting just, how little we actually do have to interact with people at this point. And it's a theme that just keeps coming up in my reporting that people really want this frictionless payment system.
Yeah.
You know, we think of services like Uber that...
I was going to mention that.
I
took my first Uber ride the other day.
Nice. Yeah. What did you think?
Well, I didn't know. See, again, I'm going to sound like I'm, you know, living in medieval times here, but I was with traveling with another business person, and I said, we were both leaving to go to the airport after this meeting, and he said, well, let's get to the airport. I said, well, okay, so can we have somebody call us a cab? He goes, hold on. He reaches over his phone, boop, boop, boop. He goes, I've got an Uber car coming. I'm like, what?
Yep. I know. Yeah. And New York, you know, I can speak from experience living here. Very few people drive and own cars. So, those types of services, Uber, Lyft, and those other kinds of services are really popular. And one thing I hadn't really thought about, yes, there's the convenience of knowing that the car is on the way, but a lot of experts that I've been speaking to for my stories have just said so much of it is just that people want to take as much friction and annoyance out of the payment process itself as possible.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what made me think of it is that I said, what would you do? How do we pay them?
Exactly.
You know, I'm like this neophyte. I'm like, how do we pay them? And he's like, oh, it's all done. I mean, what do you mean? I said, well, he goes, it's already done to my credit card. There's no tip. I said, you don't tip them?
Right.
And it's like,
right,
none
I
of
know,
that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
there's none of the fumbling for your credit card in the dark or anything like that. So I think, you know, we're seeing more and more companies competing with one another, trying to make the payment process really easy. And the other part of that is that one of the experts I spoke to said about 15% of online buying never becomes an actual purchase because people just let the item sit in their checkout cart.
Mm-hmm.
So the easier that companies can make that payment process and the fewer steps, you know, they're also guaranteeing that people will actually go through with the purchase.
Yeah. Well, my wife uses my Amazon account. I've threatened to change the password many times, but I'll see stuff in her wish list sitting in there. I'm like, oh, we need to do some house cleaning here. We got to delete that right out of there.
Yeah.
Get that out
of
there. But no, it is all about making it convenient. And I'm not sure where all this is headed, Maria, about, you know, how it's frictionless and it's also this isolation. And I don't know. We'll have to talk more about it. If you just joined us, Maria Lamagna is our guest today, reporter for MarketWatch, marketwatch.com, and a lot of great stuff. We're just scratching the surface of what Maria is putting out there on the website there, marketwatch.com. A lot of great stuff. Check it out. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hello, I'm Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery. Cremation is a choice that is chosen by many today. Our caring professionals will gladly work with you to plan cremation services and memorializations that fulfill your wishes and honor the life lived. At Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, we offer a wide variety of options, from urns for burial to many other choices. There are many ways to honor your loved one following a cremation. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past several years, Americans put trillions of dollars into annuities? But despite their popularity, many people aren't sure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake, so some financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Find out about this valuable financial resource. Call Holland Financial today and get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
All right, we are back, and you can tell when I really enjoy a conversation, and we're doing that with Maria LaMagna, rhymes with lasagna. I love that. LaMagna.
You got it.
That's it. Okay. So she's a reporter with MarketWatch, and MarketWatch.com is it's a repository for a lot of great articles and subjects, including Maria's work. And we're talking about technology and how it, you know, this for the consumer, of course, all of this it's a double-edged sword, right, Maria? I mean, it's the ease of purchase, and it's also ease of purchase, meaning maybe too easy to purchase. So, you know, just
right.
Like everything else, we don't want to confuse convenience and efficiency and all of those things with maybe buying more than we should of something and or, you know, I mean, you could just go on and you could make it so convenient. Now, you know, there is, for a lot of busy people, time is money.
Right.
And being able to get things quick and easy, I like that.
Yeah, I think efficiency is something that has come up a lot in these conversations. Of course, the companies want us to think that it's really efficient, but I do think that if these are items that you would be buying anyway and you're simply saving yourself the trip or, you know, the annoyance of a payment process, I think it can end up being a really great time saver. And, you know, you do have to, as you're pointing out, you do have to be responsible and set limits for yourself. But I do think it can end up being a really easy thing to integrate into your life.
Well, I tell you what's going to be interesting. I agree with all that. What's going to be really interesting, and I know there's been a lot of experimentation on the whole delivery of groceries and things like mm-hmm. that, and it just really hasn't, I guess in some markets there that has worked, but not not in the general population, certainly not in my own personal area.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting when you can actually order some of these things that you repeatedly order and purchase and do it on your phone, either
exactly.
or they do it themselves, but to be able to get that, my chocolate milk again as an example, back in the refrigerator by having the, you know, the drone deliver it, or the, you know, whichever's cheaper, the drone or the delivery person,
right,
delivering that to my doorstep, and all I have to do is, ironically, like they used to deliver the glass jars.
Yeah, exactly.
Of
it's
milk
almost,
in the morning.
Right. It's almost like throwback to that.
It's really interesting how things come full circle, because if you think about a lot of the technology that's been going on, Maria, you know, I've been. I'm sure this will be an obvious statement for everyone, but I've kind of found it interesting that once upon a time, you know, computers were all mainframe. Your computer on your desktop was dumb. You would log into the mainframe, mm-hmm. and then the mainframe was everything was. Then everything went out to the personal computer, and everything was there. And then, of course, with the quote-unquote cloud, everything's gone back to the mainframe.
Right.
Now, you know, it's now not in the building. It's in the sky, or, you know, going through the air and going to wherever the real servers and computers are, buried under some, you know, 5-mile bunker somewhere. But, you know, the point is this stuff, it goes in cycles and it comes back full circle. It's like it's got to go through this. It's almost like a digestion process, mm-hmm. where it's got to mm-hmm. go through it and then come back to really what people want and what they need.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think companies are just trying to get as much information. I do think that's something that is is different about this day and age. Companies have so much data available to them on how people are purchasing and what people are purchasing and what they're putting in their shopping cart and then taking back out online, because they're able to track all of these behaviors. So I think they are trying to innovate in response to what they see consumers doing, you know, which maybe they didn't have that insight in the past, besides focus groups or other ways of doing it. So I do think we're seeing companies just adapt to what consumers say that they want, and maybe some adapting on the part of consumers too when we see something new and cool that's available that we wouldn't have even thought of ourselves.
Are you hearing any discussion about, of course, anytime we talk about technology and security, then we also have the question come up about government's role in all of this stuff. And when you talk about data being out there, I mean, will there come a day where, you know, I've got a box of double stuffed Oreos in my checkout shopping cart and a little alert pops up and the government says, no, David, you don't need those Oreos?
I hope not. I personally hope that never happens.
Okay. Right.
You know, I think what we're mostly seeing now is just that companies are using it for their own marketing and other purposes. I mean, we know just from reading in the news that social media companies are collecting a lot of data on us too, and not everyone's probably reading the fine print as far as realizing where that data is going. But I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, and I think it's important to just remain informed about, you know, how much data we're putting out there, and that the companies are able to track all of that information about our lives.
Well, good point. And speaking of companies, I had to get to another one that was an interesting article you wrote back in January, and talking about the best jobs for 2016 all have something in common. So those people out there, employees and job seekers, what do the best jobs have in common for 2016?
Yeah, so Glassdoor typically does a study every year. Glassdoor is a company that allows people to submit reviews of their own jobs online.
And Glassdoor collects,
yes, anonymously, correct. And Glassdoor, yeah, is a good example of a company that has a lot of data on people that they're posting on the site. And every year they compile a list of what people are saying the best jobs are based on a couple criteria, including salary and how many jobs are available for people that are looking. So, what was really interesting about this year's list is, probably unsurprisingly, but the salaries were quite high for the jobs that came out on top. The number one best job was a data scientist, number two was a tax manager, and number three was a solutions architect, and all of those had average salaries over $100,000. So, you know, obviously it's maybe not super surprising that a higher salary would make us happy in our jobs. But, you know, that did stand out to me that there weren't very many jobs that made the list that were not in that range.
It's interesting because I know that there is a discussion or argument one way or the other, and it, you know, we have to be careful not to make it a political thing. But I've seen studies or heard about, you know, various, I don't know, research things saying that once you get beyond a certain level of income or salary, that, you know, quote unquote, this very qualitative state of happiness becomes, you know, you don't get as happy or happier proportionately, like,
yes,
a diminishing happiness or,
exactly,
or just not as much happiness?
Yeah, there have been some different studies, and I think typically what's regarded as that number is 75,000. But that also varies depending on where you live in the country, because, you know, $75,000 means something very different in Silicon Valley or New York or,
true,
you know, Chicago or versus, you know, maybe some smaller areas or more rural, mm-hmm, areas. So I do think it depends how far that money goes depending on where you live. But yeah, it has been shown that, you know, obviously, people's personalities are different too, but across the board, 75,000 seems to be the magic number where people end up being pretty happy up to the, you know, at that point, and then past that, as you said, the happiness kind of diminishes and drops off beyond that.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to test that.
But, I know.
But I like the thought process, and it's interesting to monitor, you know, how people are thinking about it. And I got to grab another quick break, Maria. We'll come back and we'll talk about, shift gears a little bit to more of security, and we'll talk about your recent article on driver's licenses and boarding a plane. Maria LaMagna is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, reporter for MarketWatch, marketwatch.com. Quick break, right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. The YMCA has 6 locations to help you and your family reach their health and fitness goals. The WISE child care programs provide a safe and nurturing environment. So whether it's Kids Zone while you're working out, after school enrichment programs, kids fitness programs, or Camp Winona resident camp, the Y is a safe place for your child. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Holland Tax and Accounting Services, a division of Holland Financial, holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years. We have the financial expertise that will help you manage your business and personal financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you are an individual or a business, Holland Tax can accommodate your needs for tax planning and preparation. For your business or personal finances, rely on Holland Tax and Accounting Services to deliver personal and detailed attention. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free.
All right, welcome back. Maria LaMagna on the line with us, reporter from MarketWatch, MarketWatch.com. We're ready for round 2, Maria. Here we go.
Great.
So I just did some traveling on a plane, and I, you know, security, we get on the plane, we do our whole routine. Here's my driver's license. Here's, you know, my boarding pass. I will tell you, despite my fighting the technology, is I do know how to actually have my boarding pass on my cell phone now.
Yes, I know. That's so important.
Although, when I put it on the glass, I can't seem to get it where it needs to be. But that's another problem.
Yeah, I know that can be embarrassing when you get to the front of the line. Yeah. But yeah, I do think moving toward having that boarding pass on your phone is definitely where we're all headed.
And how about ID? Are we seeing some shifts and changes there? I mean, are we allowed to ask people for their ID when they get on the plane?
Yes. So this is something that's interesting that I've been covering a bit is there's an act called the Real ID Act, which Congress passed in 2005 after, you know, the 9/11 Commission made some recommendations on how to prevent future terrorist attacks. So right now, all states have different driver's licenses, and not all of them meet the minimum security standards.
Really?
According to the Real ID Act. So, yeah, so now what we're seeing is, you know, some states have been making changes to their IDs to make them compliant with these laws, but there are still a few states that don't meet that requirement. And so, you know, if starting in 2018, if they don't meet those standards, then just your driver's license alone will not be enough to even be on a domestic flight. And so, yeah, the Department of Homeland Security has some good information on its site about finding out whether your state complies and, you know, what to do if you don't comply. But there are alternative forms of IDs that people will be able to bring. And again, this is not starting until 2018. But, you know, if you are in a non-compliant state, there are other forms of ID that you can present, including your passport or a passport card. But yeah, it's an interesting development and something that I don't know if people are super aware of, but it is going to affect some people in certain states.
I think there's a general lack of awareness. I think most people don't know that. And I want the ID that says I'm not a terrorist and let me get on the plane real nice.
Yeah, well, you can do some things like that for yourself. You can apply for TSA PreCheck, which allows you to go through lines much quicker. That was one of the tips that I gave in pre-Thanksgiving and pre-December holiday travel. You can actually sign up with your airport and get that TSA PreCheck so that you're in a quicker line than the vast majority of the population. But yeah, it's always good to do your research before getting on a flight and just making sure you have everything that you need.
I want the one that lets me go through the airport like OJ, the old OJ Simpson commercials. I don't just walk through the airport, I fly through them. I know I'm looking at your picture on LinkedIn, Maria, and I know you're too young to remember those commercials, but you may have heard of them on YouTube or something.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've seen the commercials,
okay.
But, you know,
I didn't think you had.
I'll have to look that up.
All right, that's good. I know. All right. No, but we all want to make that easier, and we also want to be secure, and, you know, that's important. And speaking of health, and nice segue to another one. I want to make sure I get to all these really interesting topics with you, Maria. And the other one is you wrote about back in December of 15 about salt now being New York City's new public health enemy. Oh, no.
Yes. I think that's something that we don't think about as much. You know, obviously trans fats and soda have been under the microscope for being, you know, hazards to our health. But you know, starting in December, New York City was rolling out these new requirements to have chain restaurants post a little salt shaker symbol if certain menu items have too much salt in them according to our recommendation of the total daily limit. So it's about, it's for individual menu items that have about 1 teaspoon of salt in them, which a lot of items actually do have more salt than you might expect.
Sure.
So I actually haven't really seen this salt shaker symbol really on a lot of menus that I've seen in New York, but apparently it's something that is going to be rolling out.
I tell you what, it's funny. I know that I think there needs to be, I'm a big fan of truth in labeling, and it needs to be, where's it from? How's it made? What's in it? It needs to be real clear. And I think that way people can make choices, but it's interesting. It seems like there's this, I don't know. Sometimes I think people resist some of this, Maria, because it seems like a government overreach. But I think it's really important for people to know what's in these things. And, because doggone it, a Biggie Coke and a bag of salted peanuts, they'll kill you.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think we are seeing a trend, something that's come up over and over when I've talked to different people in the, experts in the food industry, is that people want to know. They do want to have clear labels. They want transparency from companies that say, this is what's in our food, and you can know exactly what's in there. And then you can make your own choice about
where it's from.
Exactly. And where it's from. Yeah, that's another big trend. And then you can make your own choice about if you're then going to purchase that item. But I do think that people want to be aware and want to have that information available to them before they, make an informed choice.
And last but not least, because I am a carnivore, I love my meat. I like eating steak.
Uh-huh.
There's good news for meaters in 2016. Please say it so.
Yes, there is. So in 2015, we saw that some prices were inordinately high. The price of eggs was really high in the last year because we saw avian flu like the United States had never seen before, which really drove up egg prices. And then same thing with red meat. Prices of beef were really high in 2015, but experts do say that in 2016, both eggs and beef prices will be lower. So yeah, that's some good news for people who like eggs and red meat.
That's great news. I like both. So as we look at these, we've got just a short time here left, Maria. Some of these trends, it seems as though there's a lot trending that is about enabling the consumer, keeping them informed, allowing them to be more efficient, and but also, to be able to be aware of these things. And I don't know, where do you think all this is headed? I mean, are we looking at, is this everything I've read is it continues to speed up?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I mentioned before, just the availability of data is such a huge part of all of this, with companies being able to track what people want. A lot of companies are doing surveys about what consumers want, and, that goes beyond just what they see from what they're clicking on online. So I do think, it's partially driven by what consumers want, and partially driven by what companies are seeing results with. And I do think efficiency, we work such long hours these days, and very few people are taking vacation, and time really is money for a lot of people. So I think anything that promotes efficiency is really in demand right now. Of course, prices matter and people are still sensitive to getting the best deal, but I do think anything that allows us to maximize our time is also very big this year, for sure.
Excellent. Well, good stuff, Maria. We appreciate you coming on. Maria Lamagna is our guest today, reporter for MarketWatch, marketwatch.com. A lot of great information there. Maria, we will have you back for an update. Thank you very much for your time.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.